Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday as we welcome you into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you. We're coming to you from coast to coast as always. Michael out there in New Jersey. I'm here in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll have the one and only Mike Somich in his usual Thursday spot. In an hour or two, excited to have Kirk Morrison join the program, former NFL linebacker, get into some of the conversation topics we discussed yesterday with the potential changes in offseason program, 18 games, all of that fun stuff, Michael. But good morning or good afternoon to you on your side of the world. How are we doing today?
We're good, Stormy. We are doing really well. We feel like we have better weather now, so that's good. Always good. And, you know, we've got NBA basketball tonight, which is fun. I mean, we have hockey going at full vore. We got the Rangers tonight. I mean, how about the Edmonton Oilers coming back from 2-0 and winning that one 5-2 last night? I'm sure you paid close attention to that. And there's plenty of football to talk about. Life is good.
Yes, life is good. And speaking of plenty of football to talk about, we got some big news today, which it's funny we talk so much the offseason about how, things are going to be slow. We're not going to have stuff to talk about. Every single day, there is something. And today we found out Jaylen Waddle and the Dolphins have agreed to a 3-year, $84.75 million extension that includes $76 million in guaranteed cash. The deal makes Waddle now one of the top five highest paid wide receivers in the league. So the Dolphins now have an expensive wide receiver room with two of the top five when you throw Tyreek Hill in the mix as well. And so I think the big question naturally coming off of this contract, Michael, is do they have a quarterback that can get them over the top? And how much are you going to commit to Tua financially next?
I think that's the real question, right? And I think Tua's going to stand there. He hasn't done a deal yet. Look, if this deal was going to be $40 million and Tua agreed to it, it would have been done by now. So this tells me the longer it goes, it's getting closer to the Jared Goff deal. It could be above Joe Burrow. And if they do that, they're not watching the same game I'm watching, because I agree with paying Tyreek Hill what his number is, second highest paid receiver in the league now since A.J. Brown got his deal redone. And paying Waddle, I agree with as well, because 80% of the offense goes through those two players. You know, without those two elite receivers, it's very challenging for Tua to be effective. I mean, you go back to the Philly game. You know, when Philly beat them, 31-17, and I think their defense scored a touchdown, the Miami defense did, Philly shut them down. And you say, well, how could Philly have shut them down? Well, Philly was good up front. They knew how to play them. They knew where the ball was going to go. It was an RPO game. That's what Tua effectively runs. And so if they pay Tua $55 million and they have these two receivers eating up basically 12% of their cap and Tua's eating up 20% of their cap, where's the rest of their team fit in? How does this all work? I mean, the trend has been going the other way. Like I said this on the podcast today, Stormy, if you called Minnesota up and you offered them a substantial package for Justin Jefferson, they would say yes. They would say yes, because this is getting up to $34, $33, $35 million, and I'm not sure there's tolerance for that. Now, if you want to pay $24 million like they paid Waddle, okay, that's fine. Probably you can only afford one of those, but now they have two. It's going to be really fascinating how they work this around, and if Tua takes the $50-plus million, oh boy.
Yeah, and that's what we all anticipate to have happen, right? Which is why you had to move on from a guy like Christian Wilkins on the defensive end, and you're letting other areas of your team suffer because you have to pay a guy like Tua Tagovailoa. And the expectations are certainly there for Miami to take another step under Mike McDaniel. Win total set at 9.5. They're an odds on -155 price to make the playoffs. Interesting as far as the division odds go, though, because of all the love that the Jets have gotten and the Bills having won 4 straight division titles, that Miami's actually third on the odds board. And it is congested at the top there, but 2-1, they're third in the division.
Yeah, well, and for good reason. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts in Miami. First of all, starting with Anthony Weaver, good coach, defensive line coach most of his career, been a coordinator one time down in Houston. That wasn't great, but he comes in and takes over for Vic Fangio. So there's a little bit of a there. What's their corner situation going to look like, right? Xavier Howard still counts $25 million on their cap. Like, it cost them a lot of money to cut him, and they didn't want to bring him back. And then, you know, Jalen Phillips is coming off a knee injury. So is Bradley Chubb. They lost Van Ginkel, who was a good player for them last year. They lose their right guard, Robert Hunt. Whether he was a good player or not remains to be seen, but still, the offensive line. And then they're counting on Teron Armstead, who's a good player, but he doesn't play very much. So, you know, I think it's a challenge. Now, can Patrick Paul, who they drafted in the second round out of Houston, step in at left tackle? We'll see. Can Chop Robinson give them that pass rusher that they drafted from Penn State to fill in for Phillips and to fill in for Chubb as they get healthy? We shall see. But, look, the one thing I think that's the underlying factor of the Miami Dolphins is they are limited by what they do offensively, and teams – that understand what they do. This is why they don't beat good teams or good coordinators. Is they're not easy to stop. It's hard, don't get me wrong. But the offense runs through those receivers.
Another deal came through the last 24 hours as well. How about the 49ers signing their wide receiver? Oh, did you think I meant Brandon Ayuk? No, sir. Juwan Jennings, he gets a two-year contract worth $10.5 million guaranteed. Of course, more with incentives and other things built in there. And, you know, it's something that they had to get done, right? These little things they do. He was a restricted free agent. They want to make sure that they have some backfield talent. He's one of those guys that does everything right, did make a couple of key plays in the playoff run last year, but still raises the question about the other priorities in the wide receiver room moving forward.
Well, I mean, look, the 49ers and the Bengals are in similar situations, Stormy. Both of them have two really good receivers, and they can't pay both of them. Unlike Miami, who decided to pay both of them, this team, San Francisco and Cincinnati, are saying, look, we'll have one in the 20s. We can't have two. This shows you the power of how much they know they need the receivers in Miami. So they draft Pearsall in the first round. They draft Jacob Cowling in the fourth round. That gives them two young players to work with as they sort through next season, whether they extend Ayuk, who's under contract on an option deal, or whether they trade Debo. Now, Debo's unique in the sense that Debo's a running back who plays wide receiver, and he's extremely talented. But Ayuk gives them something they haven't had, which is an outside receiver. So Jennings, who has come in and played very well for them, and Pearsall and Cowling are their security blanket for what this team will look like in 25. This is about 25, not 24. Because 24, I'm sure they want to play it. There was a lot of conversations around the draft that Pittsburgh was going to trade for. I don't know, was it Ayuk? Was it Samuel? I'm not sure which one. But Pittsburgh felt like they had that deal. Mm-hmm. And then it fell apart. Why? I don't know. But I think San Francisco's belief is, can we get through this year where we are? We've got some young players to fill in and see where that takes us.
Yeah, and that is my expectation, that we'll see everybody out there on the field this year, and then they'll reevaluate next season, because you can't make it work and pay all of those guys at once. So who will they ultimately move on from is the question. But the 49ers, second shortest shot in the NFL to win the Super Bowl this year, win total set at 11.5. Okay, we've got a couple fun news or noise items that we're going to sprinkle throughout the show, but let's run that open for the heck of it anyways. Let's go.
News.
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise.
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. This is noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
And again, since we have a few of these, we'll mix them in throughout the show. But to get us started here, there was video of Aaron Rodgers circulating yesterday, Michael, of him sitting on the side of the practice field, taking off his cleats and getting treatment on his feet, thus stirring concern already amongst Jets fans and bettors. But according to reports, he did come back out on the field and did everything else without issue. As an executive, you see an older player coming off an Achilles injury in a red shirt, dealing with a potential treatment over there on the sideline. Like, how does that make you feel? Is it news or noise that we saw Rodgers on the sideline yesterday?
Well, I think it's not new. I don't think it's either. It's not news or noise. I think it's just reality, right? You're 41. Your body breaks down. Everything hurts. I mean, look, my body hurts, and I don't have to play football, and I'm old, right? And when my grandkids are at the house, all five of them, my body really hurts because I have to do a lot more. Not that Millie would say I do anything, but I have to do a little bit more. So, like, this is just reality of age, right? I mean, this is just what it is. And we're going to have this all the time. He's going to be sore. Like, this isn't just turn on a light and say, okay. It's going to require a lot of maintenance, a lot of treatments, a lot of massages for him to feel really good on Sunday. And look, this is without any contact. So I don't say it's news or noise. I say it's reality.
Well, we knew that Aaron Rodgers was old. Apparently, Quinn and Williams just found out. Listen to this.
This is going to be Aaron's 20th year. Could you speak?
20 years?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Aaron, 20 years in the NFL?
Yeah.
Man. Ain't that running back, the number zero, is 20 years old?
Yeah.
So he been in the NFL as long as he been alive. That's crazy, huh? I got a joke with him about that.
How good is that? And yeah, number zero, Braylon Allen was born in 2004. So 20 years. There we go.
You can't get anything past Quinton Williams. I mean, not only does he dominate the line of scrimmage in the run game and the passing game, you know, he's right in tune. I mean, look, that time flies, right? 20 years it's been. But that's the reality. And so if you're Joe Douglas and you're Woody Johnson and you're the great Robert Saleh, who I hear reliably reported to me that he's intimately involved with the offense this year. Mm. Got that news yesterday. Meant to put that out there. We'll see how that goes. Can't you wait to see Robert calling plays? Huh? Maybe he's the overseer to Nathaniel Hackett.
We'll have to dive into that a little deeper at another point, because it is interesting that he's been poking his head and he's more involved, and that can have the... You asked yesterday on the show, what does Robert Saleh do? So maybe now we have an answer. Win total for the Jets.
That's how I got my answer. I was Sherlock Holmes. I was asking. I kind of got it. I was so happy.
Apparently, win total for the Jets, 9.5. They're plus 190 in the AFC East. And again, I just love that from Quinn and Williams. Like, not only did he sneeze at one point, thank himself and bless himself on national television, but now the 20-year-old mark here, he is just a soundbite gem. We're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. When we come back, no team in NFL history has won 3 straight Super Bowls. Why it's so hard to stay on top.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the betting tools and content at VSiN.com. Best bets from all of our show hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips and trends. And right now on the homepage, our own Michael Lombardi's latest column, Can the Kansas City Chiefs three-peat? He's breaking down why none of the league's greats in the past have been able to accomplish the feat and what it would take for the Chiefs just to get back to the top of the mountain, let alone make history. Don't miss out. Head to VSiN.com, your one-stop shop for all things sports betting. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back into this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line. Let's go down that road with these Kansas City Chiefs, Michael, because they win the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and they come out last season hot and cold. The wide receiver room, again, there were a lot of questions about. And then things just slowly, the back end of the season, after that Christmas Day game, seemed to work out for Kansas City. Like, every time you doubt this team, they find a way to rise above. Mm-hmm. What made you write this article yesterday, and what made you ask the question about the Chiefs' potential to three-peat?
Well, you know, when you listen to Brady talk about it and then you go through it, when Brady said how hard it is to win two, I said, well, I went through all the Super Bowl teams and figured out who won. Bob Greasy, Bart Starr, John Elway, you know, Troy Aikman, Tom Brady, and then Patrick Mahomes. And you realize how many didn't, how many were one and done. Aaron Rodgers won one. We talk about Aaron Rodgers like he's won eight. Peyton Manning's won 2 Super Bowls for 2 different teams. They couldn't put together any streaks. So you realize how hard it is, right? No matter, and everybody thinks it's just about the quarterback. And then what I listened to what Brady was saying, I think we missed the most important element was the quarterback played really well. And the 1 year Brady Luke gets hurt, that was an exception. But usually teams that don't repeat, it isn't because the quarterback had a bad year. They don't have bad years. Peyton Manning doesn't have a bad year. It's some other part of their team isn't as good as it was the year before. And that's the case in point which led me to the Chiefs. Are they going to be, and this is the question we have to answer, are they going to be as good defensively as they were last year? See, everybody focuses on Mahomes and Kelsey, and of course they're great. But what made their team so good was their defense. Remember, this is a team that only threw the ball 3 times for over 300 yards all year. 3 times. They only scored over 30 points 1 time. I mean, this wasn't a team that was explosive offensively, dominating the league. It was, however, a defense that gave up the fewest big plays of any team in the league. It was a defense that was in the top five in scoring defense. It was a defense that created pressure and turnover. And so are they going to be as good defensively without Snead, without some other key players on their team that I think is going to be the reason can they win? And that's what led me down the road.
And that ultimately ended up being the story of the Chiefs last year, right? And I think it's a great point because their quarterback is Patrick Mahomes and the star power that he and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid have all had together over the course of the last handful of years. The offense gets all the attention, but we talked consistently last year about how they are winning games because of their defense. Their defense has carried the way for them this year. They've had to win in different ways. They do still obviously have Chris Jones. They still have Spags leading the way as their defensive coordinator. And so we'll see what they're able to put together, but it's a very point well taken, especially when you look at the schedule. And the Kansas City Chiefs, we talked about it when the schedule was released the other day, that this they have to play on every day of the week except for Tuesday. They have tough situations throughout the course of their schedule where they've got four straight games against opponents with win totals of over 9.5. They have a Christmas Day game on a short week on the road. There are some schedule spots on here that are very tricky, as well as all of the other items you've already pointed out.
Yeah, and look, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a continuity. You have to carry it over. Are they going to be as fortunate as they were last year, right? I think to me, when you look at some of those games, and they're tremendous, and Mahomes' ability to extend plays, make a second play off the first play when it doesn't work, but their roster, I don't see their roster as you're like, whoa, they have no holes. Like, you look at Philadelphia's roster, and if you're honest with yourself, as you said, the Phillies roster doesn't have any real holes. Now, they've got to get the Mitchell, the corner who they drafted, to play well. DeJean's got to play well, the rookie they drafted. But for the most part, you look at Philly's roster, you say, there's no holes. You look at Kansas City's roster, on the other hand, you say, wait a minute, who's the left tackle? Mm-hmm. Who's the starting outside corner? We know that McDuffie's a really good slot corner, but who's the outside corner? Right? And who's going to be able to complement Chris Jones? Is Chris Jones going to be as good a player as we thought he was last year now that he got paid and rewarded? There's always that question. So I just think there's more questions with the team. And then what is their motivation? What is their aptitude to want to be great? I think one of the keys to their team is their kicker, Buckner, because he's missed two kicks all year. They were in a lot of low-scoring games. Nobody wants to see this. I mean, how many times did we come on Monday and talk about the Chiefs and the under, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times did we talk about that? You know, they beat Denver 19-8. You know, they beat Buffalo 20-17. You know, they beat the Raiders the first, you know, they lose to the Raiders 20-4. They scored four. I mean, there were a lot of times where they didn't hold people to point. They kept people's point total way down. And their kicker made, I think he made 35 kicks, only missed two, and both of those were inside of 40 yards.
Yeah, that their offense, we'd see like first quarter, first half scoring production, but then like shut out in the second half, shut out in the fourth quarter a number of times that kept that scoring down low. Win total for this year set at 11.5. They are the favorite to three-peat and to win another Super Bowl this year, which because of all the things that you mentioned, did surprise me a little bit. Initially, when this market opened for the Super Bowl next year, it was the San Francisco 49ers who are favored. They're the second shortest shot. The prices are close. But it was interesting to me that Kansas City did take money to make history and be in that position again, despite other teams rising up. And the Kansas City Chiefs were not the best team in the regular season last year. That was the Baltimore Ravens, right? So with that in mind, and we put a poll question out on your Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter, at MLombardiNFL. So those of you listening, watching, get in there, make your vote known. But we put out a poll question for who is going to be the biggest threat to Kansas City's chance of three-peating. We put the 49ers, Ravens, Bengals, and Bills up there. Jump in the comments if you think it's the Eagles or somebody else, or we left out a true contender. But right now, 35% of the vote say it's the San Francisco 49ers and the Cincinnati Bengals behind them. The Ravens actually third of the four in the voting where things sit right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, you have to think the Bengals are going to be there because the Bengals, remember now, the other thing I talked about in my column, too, was the fact that over the last 10 years, from 2014 to 2024, right? It's been the Chiefs and the Patriots. The Chiefs have won 3 Super Bowls. The Patriots have won 3. The Chiefs and the Patriots both have lost conference championship games. The Chiefs and the Patriots both have lost a Super Bowl, right? So they've been right there on the cusp. They've been right there. And the one team that's also been right there is Cincinnati when Joe Burrow is healthy. And Buffalo, you know, this is what makes it so astounding that Buffalo would trade Worthy to the Chiefs when that's the team they got to beat. Like, why wouldn't they trade them to the Patriots? They had a chance too, and they turned it down. So I just think, to me, that you're going to have a hard time eliminating the ability of the Chiefs if they're in this hunt, right? Yeah. They're veteran, have great leadership, but injuries play a huge factor also.
The Chiefs are plus 300 to win the AFC and make the Super Bowl, plus 550 to win it all, followed by the 49ers 6-1, Ravens 9-1, Lions and Bills 12-1. It's funny already going through the comments, and we'll revisit this topic again a little bit later, but going through the comments here, Jeremy Beckham writes, the only team who consistently beats the Chiefs, the Bengals, who you just referenced. One guy's heartbroken that the Bills are an option over the Eagles. And this comment from Jim Schylander, given everything that's happened this offseason, the biggest threat to the Chiefs' chances at a three-peat is the Chiefs, given everything that's happened this offseason, which, you know, not 100% wrong there. They've had a lot of off-field issues that have come to the forefront from various players in various areas.
No question. And I think that's also always the case, because what is your motivation to be great? What is your desire to run the hill, to do all the things you need to do after you've been content? Contentment is the hardest thing any coach has to overcome. We see it in college. We see it in pro. Once you've climbed the mountain, it's hard to climb it again because you know what it takes to climb it. And one thing with Mahomes, he'll rally the forces around it. But, you know, look, Kelsey's no spring chicken. That offensive line, no left tackle. There's still things you have to worry about.
Keep these votes coming. Again, at M. Lombardi NFL, we'll revisit this topic a little bit later and see if the tides swing, at least the 49ers right now in the lead to be the biggest contender there against Kansas City. On the other side of the break, VSiN host and professional handicapper Mike Somich is going to join us live. He's got action in tonight's NBA and NHL postseason, why he likes the Florida Panthers to pull ahead in the NHL's Eastern Conference Final tonight. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Thanks for hanging out with us today on the Lombardi Line. Remember, for a limited time, we at the Lombardi Line are slashing the price of our recent pro annual subscription. It's usually $240. You can now get a full-blown subscription for just $199 when you use our promo code Lombardi. Sign up today. We're also throwing in an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than $0.50 a day when you use that promo code. But hurry, this special offer is only available through tomorrow. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe with VSiN Pro. Go get our daily best bets, complete with a leaderboard showcasing the hottest VSiN experts, betting splits that reveal where the money and bets are trending for every game, exclusive betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. But again, this expires tomorrow. Go grab your 14 months of VSiN Pro for $199. VSiN.com/subscribe with the code Lombardi.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubts. No doubts. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
So, Michael, we learned earlier this week that the Vikings reportedly considered trading up into the top 5, not for a quarterback like many assumed, but instead for Malik Nabers, which would mean a trade for Justin Jefferson. Leads me to a bigger picture topic, no way or no doubt. Justin Jefferson is available for a trade at the right price. What do you think?
No doubt. Square. You could have him. Because, I mean, what people – look, he's a great player. And Minnesota doesn't want to get rid of him. But Minnesota also knows the consequences of paying $33, $34 million to a wide receiver when – you want to try to build out your team. They've been held hostage by a Kirk Cousins, who ate all the rigatoni. He didn't leave a nickel. He didn't pass the salt. They've been down this road before. So I think they get it. Now, the reason is they were willing to make that trade is because they knew what they were getting for Jefferson. They could get Neighbors, who they said is a way to replace him. Trading him now, you're unsure. Trading him now, you're not, what are you, you're buying a pick, but you don't know what, you can't trade him to Buffalo knowing that Buffalo would be picking maybe in the 30s. So you're not being able to replace him. It goes back to the same thing when San Francisco was talking about trading Brandon Ayuk. They wanted to know that they could get a receiver equal to or better than. So, yeah, you could do it, but you're going to have to overpay now more than ever because they're dealing with the unknown of what are you going to get for him.
Yeah, and the expectation is Justin Jefferson is going to be that market resetter. So do you go from Kirk Cousins jail, as we've called it, to Justin Jefferson jail all over again? How about the Kansas City Chiefs? They're a team that we've talked about a lot today. In 2024, the Chiefs will be the first NFL team since the 1927 football Yankees to play on 6 days of the week during the regular season. Here's what Andy Reid had to say after he saw a look at the schedule.
They don't ask me. It's the first time in my career that that's happened. It's unique. So, and you know how we are. I mean, we don't really care. They could give us a Tuesday game if they want. We'll be okay there too. So we work through it, and we'll play anybody, anywhere, whatever they want to do. We're on board, so.
Leave Tuesdays alone. We don't need another day of the week. No way or no doubt, Michael. The Chiefs' historic NFL schedule will affect their chances to three-peat.
No doubt. I mean, look, it has to, right? It's difficult to play on short weeks. It's difficult to not have great rest. It's difficult to have all the things that you want to have that doesn't really manifest itself and determine keeping your team. I mean, look, the Houston Texans played at 1 o'clock every single week last week. Your schedule, it's going to affect them. There's no question. Now, they're going to battle through it, and Andy's going to act like it's no big deal. But eventually, it will become a big deal because I think it will affect the injuries. It'll be a great test study, at least, on how the injuries manifest themselves.
11-win season last year for Kansas City. Win total set at 11.5 this year. They are the favorite to make history and win a third straight Super Bowl. So a team not quite in the same echelon conversation, the Tennessee Titans. Their head coach, Brian Callahan, has a lot of belief in his young quarterback, Will Levis, saying that he believes Levis can be a really, really good top-end starting quarterback in this league. Levis told Albert Breer this week he's trying to prove the organization right. No way or no doubt, Michael, the Titans made a mistake not bringing in some competition for Will Levis in that quarterback room right now. It's him, Mason Rudolph, and Malik Willis.
No doubt. I mean, I would have, but I mean, they're probably going to say that Mason Rudolph is the competition because if you look at Rudolph at the end of the year last year, he actually played better than Will Levis played. Now, he's not as talented as Levis in terms of his arm strength and all that, but I do agree. Look, the reason Brian Callahan got the job is because he's got to make Will Levis a good player. It's the same thing why Brian Daboll got the job at the New York Giants, is you got to make Daniel Jones a good player. And then a year after being there and going to the playoffs, and then the next year, all of a sudden, after giving them $40 million, we're looking for a replacement. I think sometimes when a player shows you who he is, believe him, as the great Bill Parcells once said. But in this case, we're not sure what Levis has showed us who he was. We were in Daniel Jones's. In this one, I'm not 100% sure. I have a really good idea, but it's going to take more time.
The win total for the Tennessee Titans this year sitting 6.5, and the juice is on the under, -135. How about the Las Vegas Raiders? Marvin Lewis told reporters in his Wednesday press conference that the opportunity to join Antonio Pierce is what drew him to Vegas. And we know he is a former NFL head coach. He's got two former NFL head coaches on the staff. Having former head coaches in the building will help Antonio Pierce and his development in this role, Michael, no way or no doubt.
I think there's no doubt it can certainly help him. I mean, he's got people there. Plus, you're not counting Tom Coughlin, who they paid a hefty salary to be a consultant. I mean, the Raiders have a lot of money in this coaching staff. But at the end of the day, Antonio Pierce has to be the guy doing the calls. If everybody thinks it's coming from Joe Philbin, who's been a head coach, or it's coming from Tom Coughlin, who's been a head coach, were coming from Marvin, who's been a head coach, then he's going to lose credibility. So he's got to balance that very closely. And at the end of the day, is his team good enough? You know, that's the question. Is he good enough at quarterback? Is he good enough in the offensive line? Can they compete with the Kansas City Chiefs? You know, we didn't put them in the poll to challenge the Chiefs for a reason.
Although they have the recipe, right? I am interested when it comes to Antonio Pierce, how much the substance is there, you know? And, like, we don't know that answer yet because you can only rely on mentality and rah-rah so much. So I'm excited to see. I hope that it's a good thing. I hope it's a step forward and a positive, like Herm Edwards said when he joined us on the show earlier this week, but only time will tell. Let's go back to the Philadelphia Eagles. We talked a lot about Nick Sirianni in Buy or Beware. No way or no doubt, this Eagles offense is poised to return to the explosiveness we saw in 2022.
I think that's a no doubt. If they run, I mean, look, Barkley's the best back they've had in Philadelphia for a long time. Miles Sanders was good. He gained over 1,200 yards for them, you know, and Barkley's better. Now, Barkley, you've got to worry about in terms of protection. Can he improve in that area? He's gotten better from his rookie year to now, so that's a concern. And durability for Saquon is a concern. Can he stay healthy? You said it yesterday. He's never been on a team that has won or has been this good in his career. So, I mean, this is going to be newfound territory, and I think ultimately they're better. They've got a lot of weapons. They're talented on offense. Hurts has got to play at a higher level. And look, they've got the young Sid Gilman, the joystick, calling plays. How can't they be good?
Yeah, he's had one season with the Giants where the team won more than six games. And, of course, it was 2 years ago when they went to the playoffs. But other than that, it's been big bad. And he told reporters last week his first 7-on-7 huddle, he was, like, wide-eyed. He said, you see A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert, and Jalen Hurts. That's not a bad group to be out there with. And that's not even including the offensive line, who, yeah, in addition to him being the best back that the Eagles have had in a long time, this is the best offensive line he's played before by far. Last one, real quickly. No way or no doubt, Ty Lue, who just cashed in on the long extension with L.A., will win an NBA championship with the Clippers. What do you think?
No way. No way. I don't see it. I mean, look, it's remarkable. I mean, Ty Lue had a lot of teams going after him. It was unbelievable. And obviously, he's a well-thought-of coach. But look, this run that the Clippers have had with Paul George and Paul Leonard, with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, is a challenge. And are they going to be good enough? I know Bama will pay whatever it takes. Obviously, he paid for his coach. But to me, the West is really good. The West is really good with Oklahoma and Minnesota, and they have draft picks. And we still haven't talked about San Antonio, who's got one of the great young players of all time sitting out there.
Yep, Victor Wembanyama certainly coming up in the corner there. But Ty Lue, it's funny the way we talk about him, because we are like, he's one of the best coaches in the NBA, masterful at the job. And then you're like, wait, but he hasn't been to the finals with the Clippers. He hasn't won an NBA championship with the Clippers. Interesting. The new deal that he got has him with LA through 2028-29, one of the NBA's highest paid head coaches at approximately $14 million a year. Okay, you hear that music. That means we got to take a timeout. Coming up, we'll hit the Raiders and Rams expectations in 2024 with former NFL linebacker turned analyst Kirk Morrison, who's extremely close to both organizations. Also curious on the player's perspective when it comes to a potential 18-game season and the PA's desire to eliminate the offseason program. All that and more when we return.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content we've got at VSiN.com as well. Best bets from show hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips and trends. And right now on the homepage, our own Michael Lombardi's latest column, Can the Kansas City Chiefs three-peat? Breaking down why none of the league's greats of the past have been able to accomplish the feat and what it would take for the Chiefs just to get back on top of the mountain, let alone make history. Don't miss out. Head to VSiN.com. One team and coach who says they have the recipe to beat those Kansas City Chiefs, the Raiders and head coach Antonio Pierce. Let's talk to a former Raider, get his opinion. Kirk Morrison joins us on the Progressive Guest Line, former NFL linebacker turned analyst. He's been stuck with me the last couple years, every Saturday covering college football for ESPN. He's also on SiriusXM NFL Network Radio. What's going on, Kirk? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, great to be with you, Stormy. Mike, how you doing?
Good, good.
We're doing great, Kirk. So,
go for it, Michael.
Oh, no, I was going to follow up with the question that you originally started. I mean, we listened to Antonio Pierce. One of the rules I've always had when I worked at the Raiders, when you used to go out, we would be in Napa, and Al Davis was standing out there on a summer morning in his white outfit with his towel, and people would walk up to him and say, "How are you doing, Mr. Davis?" And he would yell and growl at him. I would always say, like, why would you pet the tiger? Like, if that was a tiger out there, would you go pet it? Of course you wouldn't, right? So, like, but then again, here's Antonio Pierce. He's going to go pet the tiger. He's going to tell the Chiefs that he has the recipe to beat them. You know, even though he didn't complete a pass in the second half against them the last time they played them. Not one pass. So let me ask you, do they have the recipe, or are they just petting the tiger?
Well, Mike, I guess quick story time, because I had to learn that lesson the hard way when it comes to Mr. Davis. I remember asking him that question being in the team facility a day after a loss. And so I'm getting extra workout in, getting some extra film work in. And, you know, Mr. Davis usually would come later in the day to the facility to get his workout in. And so I remember seeing him, and, you know, it's just the normal interaction that you would think with anybody. So I'm walking by, and I said, "Hi, Mr. Davis, how we doing?" And he stopped, and you could just see the growl that his face just, and I'm like, uh-oh. And he looked at me and says, "Kirk, we lost yesterday. Well, how do you think I'm doing?" And so from that point on, I never said, "How we doing, Mr. Davis?" I would always say, "Hi, Mr. Davis, good day," and just keep it moving. You know what I mean? So I never gave him that interaction of how you're doing, but just, "Hey, Mr. Davis, good day to you." Okay. That being said, Mike, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of what Antonio Pierce is doing is, to me, kind of what I felt when my last couple years in the NFL, playing with the Buffalo Bills. Their nemesis, obviously, was then the New England Patriots. And no matter how good you were, how great a season you started off with, it didn't matter in Buffalo, your record or how things were going. It's what did you do, or how did you do against the Patriots? That's just how it was. Like, "Oh, great, you're 5-0. But wait till the Patriot game, or how did you do against the Patriots?" And I felt sometimes as an organization, and even at that time, just our psyche was that it's the Patriots, and you almost felt like you may be down in the game before it even started, or before the game even got there. I think that's what Antonio Pierce is trying not to have happen when it comes to the Raiders, saying, "I know they're the Chiefs. I know they've won 2 Super Bowls over the last couple of years. I mean, the last 2 Super Bowls. They're trying to go for a three-peat. They've won 3 in the last 5 years." All that being said, we can't kiss the rings. We can't act like, look, they're better than us. They put their pants on one leg at a time like us. I think this is just all just the coaching mantra of saying, "Hey, they're good, but guess what? We just as good as them. And if you don't believe that, then you shouldn't be a part of this team." So I just think that's just, Coach Pierce doing what he has to do to keep his guys motivated and not feel like they are not on equal level playing ground with the Chiefs.
Well, and now here's the thing. How do you take that mentality and make it reality? Because the reality is, when you look at what the Kansas City Chiefs have done and what the Raiders have done, is that, Vegas isn't there right now. Their win total this year in the betting market is 6.5. The expectation is for them to not be particularly competitive in the division and be held out of the playoffs again. What to you is a successful season in year 1 in full under Antonio Pierce?
I mean, obviously you want to get to the playoffs. You want to win your division. That's success. They can't look at the outsiders. Everybody's going to be, a naysayer when it comes to the Raiders. And look, rightfully so. I understand that, especially in the division that you're in. But you also have to look at, I think the mentality of this team is like, "Look, dude, nobody think we're going to do anything. We got to go out there and ball out. We got to go play." And the only way that we can keep getting noticed, keep getting people to understand that it's a different culture, is we got to beat these top teams. We got to continue to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think I saw Jack Jones talking about it the other day. Man, we're the last team to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the mindset inside of the locker room, is walking around saying, like, we know how good we can be. The outside folks don't know. And that's the mentality. You can't let the outside noise get into the locker room. And I think that's what the players are telling themselves right now.
Well, the outside noise is saying they don't have a quarterback. And I don't know if the outside noise is wrong. How do you defend that?
I think that last year, Aiden O'Connell was put in a situation in which he was a fourth-round pick. He wasn't supposed to even be the quarterback. But because of injuries to the quarterbacks in front of him, then just the way that the season went in terms of a coaching change, Aiden O'Connell was put in a difficult situation. But yet they were able to find ways to win football games at the end of the year. And so he could be their quarterback, but he's got to go out there and prove it. They've added some more weapons to him. And I think it's like the mentality I saw from other teams, that knowing that, hey, it may not be the quarterback that you think we should have, but he's our guy. He's one of us. And I think that's the maturity that this team has to have. And they'll find out quickly. They'll find out early on what it needs to be. But adding – obviously, Brock Bowers, we know about Devontae, we know about Michael Mayer and Jacoby Myers. I think this is a team that realizes we're going to win nasty, we're going to win ugly, it's not going to be pretty. I think, Mike, they're not going to be throwing for 300 yards a week, but they're going to win games close because they feel like they're going to be the much tougher team because Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew, they're one of us. I mean, if you really think about it, they look like Raider type of quarterbacks, in my opinion.
Well, stay out west, but the NFC West, another team you cover really closely, is Los Angeles Rams, doing their pre-halftime and post during the season. What do you expect from LA this season, and especially defensively without Aaron Donald? Do you think they miss a step on that end?
Yeah, I mean, I still expect them to be one of the better teams in the NFC. They'll be a year better. A lot of their rookies last year, all 14 that made the team a year ago, are all back. Even Stetson Bennett, who will have a major role this year, with Jimmy Garoppolo being suspended for the first two games. So he may be the backup for the Rams the first couple games of the season until Jimmy comes off of suspension. But look, Matthew Stafford played great football last year, and I think that's the reason why the Rams, to me, could be one of those formidable teams in the NFC. When it comes to Aaron Donald, you can't replace him. It is going to be defensive line by committee. I know we say running back by committee, but pass rush by committee may be the new term. In Los Angeles, they went out and drafted Jared Verse, you know, in the first round. Braden Fisk also as well out of Florida State in the second round. So they've got some pieces and guys who developed last year as rookies. They just know that it is all going to come down to everybody having a hand in it, everybody having a part in it. And I'm not so I'm just not fixated that I think the Rams at some point may even go take a look in free agency right before the season starts. Maybe bring in a Yannick Ngakoue or some guy or somebody who's an older pass rusher but can be maybe a leader amongst that group.
Yeah, I mean, look, they've done a great job of rebuilding their offensive line, but losing Raheem Morris, I think, will be something difficult. You know Chris Shula. Tell us about how that'll be different than Raheem Morris.
Well, I think obviously Raheem has been there. He's been through the battles and obviously was the defensive coordinator when they won the Super Bowl. But Chris Shula has kind of been the coach in waiting. He's been here. He knows obviously how things have been run. He's also had those opportunities to call plays, especially during the preseason. Sean McVay kind of delegates others to call plays during the season. And whether it's on offense or even on defense, and Chris Shula has been that guy. So he's had some experience in doing that. Now he'll do it in the regular season. I think that we'll see a similar Rams defense, but this will be fun. I mean, because I think he's got a lot of young guys who are just trying to find their way in the NFL. So for him, it's like really, truly a blank canvas. And I think he's excited to put this all together. A little bit different, obviously, than Raheem Morris in terms of Raheem Morris's, you know, energy. But I think Chris Shula's got it, man. He'll have a good time putting it together.
Kirk, I've got about 50 more questions for you, but only 10 seconds. So I appreciate you so much for joining
Thanks,
us today.
Buddy.
You're awesome.
Don't pet that tiger, buddy. Don't pet that tiger, Kirk.
I got you.
What a great story that was. Kirk Morrison doing a great job with ESPN and NFL Network Radio. We're going to hit the break. We'll be right back.